What's up, guys? This is Mike Casu, and this is the Brute Strength Podcast. This week, I interviewed my girlfriend, Adi Zucker, owner of Working Against Gravity. She owns a flexible dieting company, and they have the most amazing transformations I've ever seen, and they have a ton of them. And so in this interview, I ask her, you know, what are the things that make those, like, kind of bind those people? What are the habits that they have? And what are the common things that trip people up? Why can't people stick to diets? And how does she get people to actually stick to them? We talk about some different kind of performance markers, you know, tricks and tips, all that good stuff. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Adi Zucker, and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast.
All right, Adi, here we go. Thanks for finally doing this with me. So I'm going to start out by saying this. There are dozens of people doing online dieting coaching, lots of people doing flexible dieting that have been doing it a lot longer than you have. So the whole thing about being in the right place at the right time doesn't fully explain, you know, how you've become so successful. In just over a year, you have 2,000 clients. What is it about your program and your team that is so different? Why are you getting the results you're getting? I'll just let you start there.
I think that what makes us a little bit different, I'm not 100% familiar on the inner workings of the other companies that are out there, but I know that within our company, we really focus on trying to get a program that suits any individual's needs. So we are really communicating with our members. We're listening to what they need, listening to the obstacles that they're encountering, and seeking out all the resources possible to make this diet work for them. And we don't stick to a specific science or a specific ratio or a specific breakdown. It's more about finding what these people are actually going to stick to. Mm-hmm.
So how is that revolutionary? Because at least in this space, it seems to be so. How is that something that is so effective for people?
Revolutionary is a kind of a big word. I don't know if I would use that, but I don't think what we're doing is super revolutionary. I think that we're trying to be as simple as possible and finding a way of eating that people can sustain and teaching people to make their own food choices. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of diet programs in the past have made choices for you, like don't eat any carbs or eat 70% of your diet from fat, mm-hmm. or they're making food choices for you, whereas we're empowering people to make food choices for themselves. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think we probably need to back up a little bit. I'm assuming everyone knows about flexible dieting, and I think this community still has a lot to learn about it. Can you explain the diet that your program follows?
So the diet philosophy, I guess, that we follow is flexible dieting. So anybody who signs up for our program are going to get a macronutrient profile from their coach. Mm-hmm.
And real quick, what is that profile based on?
That profile is based on a formula depending on what type of athlete they are, what type of activity or exercise they participate in or don't participate in, age, gender, body composition, weight. And there's different multipliers or factors that will change in that formula. But it's just a base formula is what we start off with and make adjustments weekly. And that macronutrient profile just essentially means that we're telling you how many carbs, fats, and proteins to eat mm-hmm. throughout the day.
Okay. So why is it called flexible if you're giving them exactly what to eat?
So we're telling you how many carbs, fats, and proteins to eat, but we're not choosing the food items. So you can be flexible in what you choose to meet those requirements. Mm-hmm. So you can eat your carbs with whole wheat toast, mm-hmm. or you can have carbs from vegetables and fruit, or you can have a donut if you want, or you really are, your options are very flexible.
Right. So let's talk a little bit more about this macro profile. You and I have talked about those algorithms are based on people or like kind of a mean or the middle of the bell curve, right? That's what all of those numbers are based on. How do you change people's macros? Why do you change them? And how does that help you like serve a greater amount of people?
What do we...
Like exactly how do you change people's macros?
So we have 11 markers of progress that we follow throughout anyone's journey with Working Against Gravity. And then based on how those markers of progress are changing from week to week, we are going to adjust your macros. Mm-hmm. So that will include body weight, body composition, mood, energy, sleep. We'll talk about things like water intake, training energy, progress in training, life progress, like if you are able to go out and eat at a restaurant with your friends, things like that. And then sometimes we'll do it purely based off of the actual data, the numbers. If your body weight's going down, then, and that's your goal, then we know that things are working. Mm-hmm. If it's not going down by too much, if your body weight's stagnant and you want it to be losing, then we know that something probably needs to be changed. If mm-hmm. it's been stuck, let's say, for 4 weeks and we haven't seen any movement, then we probably should start playing around with making some adjustments somewhere. And it's really a coach and client relationship where the coach is trying to figure out what works best for that particular client. Mm-hmm. So they'll make one change, monitor if progress is being made, and then if it isn't, then they might wait a little bit to see if something will happen. But if it doesn't happen eventually, then they'll have to change something else. Mm-hmm. And then we're playing around to see what works for these particular individuals.
Okay. Can you give me three of the five most common excuses you get from people or just reasons people mess up on their diet, such as, you know, I went out to eat with friends and I had no idea what was on the menu. So give me three of the five and then give me one of your strategies to deal with that.
So first one would be time. So a lot of people, an excuse is that they just don't have enough time to prepare. Mm-hmm. A strategy to solve that would be to assess where you're spending your time, whether it's write it down on a piece of paper, see what you're doing every single day, monitor the activities that you've got going on for a week, and then see where you can plot in some time to maybe do some food prep or work on thinking of some easy grab-and-go foods that would make life easier for you. Mm-hmm. You could also assess the area around where you live, like the within a 5-mile radius of where you live, what are some restaurants or fast food places that you have the macronutrients for, like the nutritional information, whether it's calling that place ahead of time and asking them if they can help you out. Mm-hmm. Then once you've gotten it once, you know that you can go there every single time.
Right.
Then it's just a one-time thing. It might feel a little bit uncomfortable to do it the first time, but it's definitely going to save you some time in the future. Mm-hmm. Just looking around and seeing what is out there.
Right.
It's all going to save you some time.
I have a kind of a different spin on a strategy. I think the time excuse is usually bullshit, and it just means people don't care enough, and they don't know how to track efficiently yet, and so they're just not going to do it. It makes them a little bit too uncomfortable, and so they give the excuse, I don't have enough time. Mm-hmm. The only people that really don't have enough time are those that, you know, they have kids, they're working two jobs, you know, they really, really do not have the time. But the majority of people, if they prioritize it, could find an extra 20 minutes a day to...
Even those people can.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm giving them an out because I don't want comments, you know, I have 6 kids and I just can't find any time. I don't want to have any of that. but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It you know, it's just not their priority. And I think if people realized how simple it was and that how quickly they could learn to track, it would change their minds and then they would be willing to kind of go through that uncomfortable stage.
Right. I think one of the strategies that we've done in our Working Against Gravity homework is writing down your priorities. Mm-hmm. So what are your priorities? Whether it's family, it's your health, it's exercise, and you write those down in order of importance, mm-hmm. and then actually assess how much time you're spending on those things in your right. top three priorities. Mm-hmm. And I think most people would be surprised by how little time they actually spend to work on those top three mm-hmm. priorities.
Oh, your family is your biggest priority, and you spend 30 minutes with, you know, your spouse or your kids every day. Mm-hmm. So it's really not.
Right.
I like that a lot. Okay, that's one.
Okay.
Maybe two more.
An excuse. Mm-hmm. I think an excuse as to why you can't follow your diet.
Yeah, or just a reason people fail.
A reason people fail. Mm-hmm. A huge reason people fail is people go like too extreme, too fast. Mm-hmm. So they'll go, all of a sudden you're, you know, going to Yogurtland twice a week and you're having pizza once a week, or, you know, you're having an extreme cheat night once a week and you're eating super clean. And they'll go all of a sudden to like eating crazy clean every single day and not cheating at all. Mm-hmm. And it's just bound for your willpower to break. So there's an amazing book called Slim by Design. And that book talks about how it's easier to control your environment than it is to control your mind. Mm-hmm. And willpower is eventually going to let up a little bit. So you're going to either be in a situation that's a little bit too stressful and you're just going to be like, oh my gosh, it's just easier for me to just eat this mm-hmm. and it's going to feel good and it, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Like, right.
And then I'm just over the deep end and then it kind of spirals out of from there. Mm-hmm. I think that a strategy to help that would be to just ease into things. Mm-hmm. So even if you're tracking for the first time ever, and it is might be a little bit extreme to go from not tracking anything to tracking every single thing you eat. If you, you know, eat one thing a day that isn't tracked for your first week, that might not be a big deal breaker. Mm-hmm. Having an entire box of cookies every single day not tracked is going to be a deal breaker. I think that there's like a middle ground between going from nothing, 0 to 100. I think that you're likely to fail if you go to an extreme.
I love it. What else? Next one.
One more. A reason people fail or an excuse. People think it's too hard. Is that an excuse?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's too hard. I'm too hungry or I'm afraid I'm going to be hungry, whatever. How do you talk to those people? How do you build trust with those people?
Lots of conversations, lots of questions, lots of listening. We ask a lot of questions that go beyond just what you're eating and what the food is, but about why are you, it's almost a lot of people self-sabotage. Mm-hmm. So they're just like, it's too hard. I'm just going to eat this and then spiral out of control. Where we try and slow things down. If people need to just focus on hitting one macro instead of hitting all three macros, mm-hmm. like that's totally fine. Like we'll work on that first. That's right. Your first goal. Then we'll work on hitting two macros out of the three, or we'll work on hitting all three. We're never coming from a negative place. Like we're never saying you're not good enough or, mm-hmm. you know, what you did this week wasn't good enough. It's more finding a positive in what you did that week, mm-hmm. and then finding something that you can do better, right. and then providing the strategies to make it so that it's not hard.
Right.
But realistically, anything that you want or that is worthwhile is going to be difficult.
Sure.
Like there's no magic program or secret pill, mm-hmm. or there's nothing that's going to get you to your results that's easy.
Right.
So we're just trying to provide that level of support and accountability for our members that make them feel like, you know, they're not alone.
Right. Yeah. I think part of it too is just lack of education. I think I am personally a very knowledgeable person about nutrition in general. And then when I started counting macros and stuff like that, it was still kind of a daunting task in some ways. I didn't know exactly what was in what, like how much of a certain macro was in different kinds of foods. Didn't really know how to use my Fitness Pal that well. Didn't know like all the little tips and tricks that you've taught me since then. And so it's just a little bit scary of a task because it's food. You got to eat it all day. And it seems like it could take a shit ton of time. But through conversations with you, reading articles and just practicing, it becomes easy really quickly. And right. you quickly learn, especially the foods that you eat most often, you quickly know you know, you can look at it and tell how much that is. And it just, it makes you feel a lot more confident. It made me feel a lot more confident in the whole process.
Yeah. You can go from not knowing what's in your food to at least getting a general idea, mm-hmm. and then knowing what absolutely isn't going to fit in your diet at all. So before, you would eat something and maybe be like, oh, it's my treat, or it would just lead to eating more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And then now you at least have this accountability with yourself of knowing, I've tracked my food before. Right. I know that this isn't going to fit.
Right. As a guy, especially, I think it's just not talked about, like feeling guilty about eating food, but I feel it all the time. You know, I want to look good. I want to feel good. And so when I'm putting something in my body, when I'm eating food, I'm always wondering, is this going to get me closer to the body I want or move me further away? And so this has slowly started to kind of take that worry and stress away around eating, which is pretty amazing because you eat, you know, hopefully 3 meals a day. It consumes a lot of your life, you know, could be 2 to 3 hours of your day every day. So it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. The rest of the time you're thinking about what you're going to eat next.
Right. And you know, not even talking about like how this is probably the fastest way or the most efficient way to get the body you want. It just removes the stress around eating, which is amazing. Pretty cool. What does it mean to eat for volume? And what does that have to do with hunger and like consistency?
So a lot of people think that flexible dieting is just eat a bunch of junk food because it can fit in your macros. Whereas what we try and preach is that you want to eat for volume. And what that means is that there are certain food items or ingredients that will carry with them more like actual weight. So you're going to be able to eat a lot more of a bell pepper than you're going to eat for this equivalent amount of macros. So let's say 400 grams of a bell pepper is 15 carbs.
Okay. How many grams? We're in America right now.
What is that? Is like half a kilo, like a pound.
Nice.
A pound.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Around a pound.
We won't hold you to that.
Okay,
around a
let's
pound.
Let's say a pound of bell peppers yeah. is 15 carbs. Let's just say
fuckload of bell peppers.
Right, it's a lot of bell peppers. Uh-huh. And then for 15 carbs, you can have one lollipop. Mm-hmm. And then you're gonna try and justify eating a lollipop versus mm-hmm. eating 400 grams or 500 grams worth of or a pound worth of bell pepper. Right. Whereas that is only taking up the size of the lollipop in your system, and mm-hmm. you're actually just like licking it, so you're not even eating it. And then a bell pepper is going to fill so much of that hunger. Right. So it's just more trying to choose food options that are larger mm-hmm. and going to keep you feeling full, and then saving those treats for once in a while, so you're not right. hungry all the time.
It's kind of like a duh type of thing, mm-hmm. but there's a couple really interesting pieces here. One, you could eat the sucker or the bell peppers. And if you can stick to it, if you can stick to eating a sucker every time and just one sucker and not go overboard because you're hungry, you'll get the same body, right?
Yes.
But the point is most people just can't stick to that. They're left feeling super hungry and they just can't stick to the diet. So the whole eat for volume is probably a lot healthier in terms of micronutrients and overall health mm-hmm. And longevity. But B, it's just going to help you stick to the diet. And that is the most important thing, right?
Right. I think it's surprising how many people that are probably even listening to this right mm-hmm. now that eat a Quest bar every single day. Mm-hmm. Whereas those are meal replacements for a reason. They're called meal replacements because you could eat a meal's worth of food for the same amount of macros that are in that 60-gram mm-hmm. Quest bar.
Word. let's talk about consistency a little bit more. This, when you taught me this, it was kind of an eye-opener. Just the fact that talk about like how you start off with people just tracking their food and why consistency is the key in general.
In order to assess what your body's actually reacting to, it's kind of, I like to compare it to a science experiment where you're trying to find causation. So for those that like don't really know science, you are going to control some variables to be able to see what is actually causing change. So if you're eating, you know, 1200 calories one day and then 2200 calories the next day and 1800 calories the other day, there's no way to possibly know what is causing change or what is going to stimulate progress or what, regardless of whether you're gaining weight or losing weight or staying exactly the same, being consistent at least gives you the information that you need in order to see what your body's reacting to. So if I've eaten 200 grams of carbs every single day and I'm feeling like I have tons of energy and this really works for me, then that amount probably is really good for you and it's well suited for you. And if your progress is happening, then that probably is where we should stay. Whereas if you're having 200 grams of carbs every single day and you're feeling run down, like you don't have enough energy, like your training is starting to suffer, then we can play around with increasing that. And if we increase just the carbs and then you're seeing a boost in energy and you're seeing like your performance is increasing again, then we know that it was probably due to that increase in carbs. Mm-hmm. Whereas without consistency, there's no way to know.
Right. I love that. So you guys have some of the most incredible transformations I've ever seen, and you have a lot of them. What are some of the characteristics and habits that are kind of in all of those people? What traits do they share that have made them so successful?
I think it's more like what habits that they're adopting. Mm-hmm. So all of these people check in with their coach.
Okay.
Every single one of them. Every single one of them, whether they had a good week, a bad week, or followed their macros or didn't follow their macros, they check in with their coach and they're honest and open about what's been going on. Mm-hmm. They give the coach the opportunity to help them. So they're open. They understand that we're not there to judge you. Your goals are totally our goals and we want nothing but for you to succeed. So being open and honest with us is only going to give us more opportunity to actually help you get there. Right. All of those people do that for sure.
And they're sending their pictures in.
Sending their pictures, sending their Excel sheets, explaining how their week went. The people that maybe are on the opposite end of that will like just send pictures in an Excel sheet and like, good week, thanks.
Right.
And then they don't really say much. And then most times the coach will be like, well, like, you know, I see that things are going really well and you're tracking, but let me know how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. So much more comes into account than just what the numbers say.
Right. So they could have had a successful week in terms of hitting their macros, but they might have felt hungry the whole time. So they're on the verge of messing up, right? Mm-hmm. So it's important for them to tell someone about it so that they can figure out how to fix that, right?
Right. So if someone's emailing me saying that they're super hungry and it looks like they're hitting their macros and they're getting all their food, but they really want to lose weight, so I'm not going to increase your food intake necessarily, but I might ask you to send me your daily food logs from MyFitnessPal and I can see what you're eating in a day. And I could probably provide suggestions as to alternatives for what you're eating that might be higher volume or some other food options that might keep you fuller for longer.
Okay. So is it that simple? Is that the only habit, or are there some other things that you think are common in these people? The big time transformations.
They try and stay positive. I think it's more like these people have really committed to making a change. Mm-hmm. So they're totally committed in the program and they understand that as long as you follow what we're giving you, at least if anything, you can blame us if nothing happens.
Right.
So you did everything I said and nothing's working. So now you can blame me for nothing happening. But if you didn't follow it and you didn't check in and you're not hitting your macros, then you can't blame me because now I'm not sure if it was you. Mm-hmm. At least put the onus on your coach. So all those people, they're super compliant. They check in. They're honest. And they're really committed to making a change. Mm-hmm.
I love that. You know, one of the coolest things about flexible dieting in general, the whole idea about it being a science experiment, is the difference between it and kind of like a carb night type diet, where it might work for that 1% of the population that's super, super self-disciplined and anything's going to work for them, and they can lose a ton of fat right off the bat. The difference with this is it's going to take longer because it's going to be more permanent change and you're learning a lot of new things. But the rate of success is just astronomically higher than any other diet I've seen. It makes it really hard to mess up on, which is really cool. I think if most people knew in 16 weeks, I'll have the body I want, I think most people would sign up for that rather than some extreme diet that they think might work. Mm-hmm. Right. And I see flexible dieting and your company, in particular, as doing just that. I know if someone signs up with you guys that eventually, if they stick to it and they listen to you, they're going to get the body they want, which is pretty amazing. Let's say someone emails you, they've tried paleo, they've tried zone for years, they've done carb backloading, all kinds of shit, and nothing works for them, right? They don't know why. It just doesn't work for them. They always like hit a plateau and then go back right to where they were before. What do you say to that person?
What do we say?
They're saying, why should I join yours? Why should I join your program? And I've tried all of these and none of it works.
I would probably say that I've been there and you're not alone. And it's a super common thing that happens for a lot of people, and that not maybe those things didn't work for you, but we have a support system that's here to help find what does work for you. And we'd probably go into a bunch of questions of why do you want to be on this journey, and what are you looking for the end result to look like, feel like, sound like? And from there, we can talk about more of what's going on in their head, mm-hmm. and get them to maybe relax a little bit, take some stress out of the situation, and put the stress on their coach instead of putting the stress all on themselves.
Gotcha. It's kind of like therapy.
A little bit.
Share the load with someone else, right? Mm-hmm. Let them carry some of it. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. Let's talk about the homework. So you touched on it earlier. Tell everybody what WAG homework is and how you and Mel came up with it. Or what was the issue that you wanted to fix that made you come up with it?
So when we first started creating an actual company that's going to provide a service for people, we were just doing macros and teaching people how to track their food and use MyFitnessPal and, you know, hit their macros. And we didn't really focus on much of the person, like who you are and how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And then we quickly realized in these check-ins that they're checking in with us once a week and they're talking to us about their mood, their energy. And a lot of people would feel comfortable enough or trust their coach enough to really open up and expose these parts of their lives that they're probably not sharing with anybody. So we're a neutral, unbiased third party that may never meet you in person. Mm-hmm. We don't know your friends. We don't know your spouses. And they're sharing this information that's definitely correlated to how successful they can be on the program. So it's not just about food. Same way with athletics or with a sport. It's not just about how hard you train. It's about how much you believe in yourself or how your mental game is. Mm-hmm. So we were really noticing that people were having the same struggles. Mm-hmm. They were mentally struggling. They were super stressed out or having a lot of problems with dealing with why they're even trying to do this in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Can you be a little more specific, like some of the things you heard over and over and over? because like, I think it might resonate yeah. with some people.
So over and over we would hear, when they're taking their pictures and they're sending them in, it's, oh, I'm super bloated and I look super puffy. I can't mm-hmm. wait to get this fat off me.
Right.
Or I'm going out for dinner with my friends and none of them understand what I'm going through. Or nobody's doing this with me. I feel so alone. Or this is so hard. I don't even know why I'm doing this. Like, it's just not worth it. Or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of things like that. Like, I look in the mirror, I hate my body. Or I want to, like, I want men to find me attractive or women mm-hmm. to find me attractive. And it was really, like, external, like, pushing that burden on other people.
Right.
So to go on from there, Melanie Barnshaw is one of our coaches, and she is a pretty exceptional human being who works a lot on herself and self-improvement. And she spends at least an hour every single day, which is unbelievable. She spends 60 minutes every single day. She's gotten into a serious habit of just working on herself, whether mm-hmm. it's meditating, reading, yoga, breathing, going for a walk, whatever it is that she needs to do to bring herself like more centered and mm-hmm. a little bit relieve some stress. She does that. And we developed some questions that we could ask our members that would come in their weekly check-ins. Mm-hmm. So in response to their weekly check-ins, they would get a question or a series of questions that they could think about, they could write about, maybe an exercise that they could do that they would either bring to the check-in next week and let their coach know about, or they could just do it for themselves
mm-hmm.
and not even share it with their coach at all. So an example would be every morning before you weigh yourself on the scale, go in front of the mirror, look at yourself in the eyes and say three things that you value about yourself. Mm-hmm. Or doing what is like the one thing in life that you're most proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that.
Awesome. So what's the goal with that?
To make people happier. I think that we've seen a direct correlation between people that are finding happiness within themselves and learning to love themselves and love their bodies and mm-hmm. understand that they are already enough however they are.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not trying to help people find self-worth. Like, you're already worthy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to, everyone who's on the program gets to a place where they already feel like they're worthy, they're already more likely to be successful on the program.
Exactly. Exactly. They have more integrity with themselves. They trust themselves to like follow through. And so they're going to have higher adherence to the program.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
That's pretty amazing. Where do you see that kind of piece of your program going in the future? Do you have any bigger goals with that or anything? What do you see that growing into?
It's probably my favorite part of the whole program, mm-hmm. for sure. Especially maybe because it's newer. So right now I'm super excited about it. I love the responses that we're getting from people. We get lengthy responses of, you know, one of the questions might be, what does the end of this journey look like, feel like, and sound like? Mm-hmm. And then the responses that we're getting are pretty amazing. And what I see it looking like in the future is, so kind of like Brute Strength has a levels 1 to 20 gymnastics program, mm-hmm. and you progress from level 1 all the way to level 20 as somebody who's like unbelievable at gymnastics. And pretty much like you could do anything that CrossFit's going to throw your way. Like, there's just nothing that you're not going to be able to master.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to progress through the levels, you have to master
mm-hmm.
each level, each of the exercises in the level.
Exactly.
And I would love to create some form of level system in that kind of manner where we start off really simple with things that you value about yourself, ways to create personal time, like scheduling out your day to focus on yourself, things like that in level 1, and then progressing all the way to being more in depth of, mm-hmm. you know, taking 30 minutes to meditate a day or some doing things that are,
right
yeah,
there.
Some... Not necessarily like super advanced, but maybe right. more time consuming.
Maybe that's level 4. Level 7 is someone takes a shit on your floor. You're not even phased, right? Level 15, road rage is not in your vocabulary. Someone can slap you in the face and you thank
you're
them
just
for
the,
it, right?
You're the Jedi Master of Gymnastics if you get to level 20 on Brute, mm-hmm. and if you get to level 20 on the WAG.
You're the Dalai Lama.
You are the Zen Master.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's really cool. What are your favorite macro-friendly treats?
Halo Top.
What's Halo Top?
It's an ice cream. It's a protein. It's a high protein ice cream. Not like super high protein, but I think it's like 240 calories for the entire pint. Mm-hmm. And if anybody knows, Arctic Zero is another macro friendly ice cream, which is less protein than Halo Top, but it doesn't taste like ice cream at all. Mm-hmm. The consistency is just not ice cream consistency. Halo Top is very, very similar to ice cream. Like, not, it's not Ben & Jerry's. Like, mm-hmm. don't get me wrong. It's not a pint of Ben & Jerry's, but it's definitely satisfies that ice cream craving mm-hmm. for sure.
Awesome. One more. Give me one more.
Macro friendly mm-hmm. treat.
I'll come back to it at the end. I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. So a lot of your clients will often sign up from the same gym. So, you know, 3 people will sign up from the same gym. 16 will sign up from the same gym. Mm-hmm. What do you think that, why do you think that is beneficial for people to have someone physically there with them going through it?
It's so much like CrossFit. Mm-hmm. Why is CrossFit so much easier to do in a class than it is to do in your home gym? Mm-hmm. Because CrossFit's hard and it hurts sometimes. And sometimes you have to make sacrifices to be good at it. And counting your macros is the exact same way. Sometimes you have to make sacrifices. Sometimes the decisions are a little bit stressful and, you know, it can be difficult to stick to. And having some other people that are going through the exact same process and maybe, you know, going out to a restaurant with somebody who's not tracking, you often hear, well, like, you're so skinny already. Like, mm-hmm. why do you need to track your food? Or why do you, you know, why can't you just have a piece of pizza? And then mm-hmm. their friends or and spouses, maybe they're not doing it in a negative kind of way. They're probably coming from a good place, mm-hmm. but it's like, makes these people feel guilty or it right. shames them into the fact that they're trying. It's like almost like health shaming.
Right.
And having some other group of people that are doing the exact same thing or going through the exact same process, you can commiserate together.
Right.
Same way you finish a WOD and you're on the floor and you're commiserating together like, oh my gosh, that sucked so mm-hmm. bad. Macros is kind of the same thing.
Right. Community. So what do you do for the people that don't have a home gym, they don't have a gym to, or they just don't have anyone else following a diet at their gym? What do you offer those people?
We have a private Facebook group for the entire mm-hmm. community. And we have just over 1700, almost 1800 people that are in that Facebook group. And it is extremely active. So we encourage in people's check-ins for them to reach out and to seek support in that Facebook group. We're also working – that's definitely harboring that sense of community for people that may not have people tracking their macros near them mm-hmm. is something that we're always trying to work on. So we're working on developing a community in an app called Slack, mm-hmm. which is a communication tool where you can create different groups of people. So it'll be similar to our Facebook group, but for people that don't necessarily have Facebook – they'd be able to go into the app and find a community within the community. So mm-hmm. just maybe just women in WAG, and it'll be a thread of just those people talking to each other. We're trying to tell them that they can reach out to their coaches as much as possible, as well as we've worked on creating like a buddy system. Mm-hmm. So linking one member to another member and giving them the opportunity to communicate with each other, whether it's through email and doing check-ins with a peer versus somebody who might be like an, you know, you, this person can take carbs away from mm-hmm. you. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of just dawning on me, but obviously, you know, I've been through years and years of therapy for drug addiction and whatnot and other ailments. Mm-hmm. When I first went into inpatient treatment, I had a therapist and a chemical dependency counselor, and I did a lot of good work in those sessions, in those therapy sessions. I learned a lot, cried a lot, learned, you know, did a lot of good work with my family, etc. By far, the most impactful therapy I did was group therapy, where, you know, I got to share the experience with my peers, with people my same age, similar, you know, goals and everything like that. It was just a way more powerful experience because on one hand, I had these authoritative figures, the therapists, things like that. My peers, for whatever reason, I just listened to them a little more easily, and sharing that experience with them took the load off me more than sharing it with a therapist. So I think it's kind of similar.
Yeah, definitely. That's why we're I think as a company, we are listening for those kinds of things and we're hearing what people want mm-hmm. and what people are hungry for, no pun intended, mm-hmm. and trying to create an avenue for that. So I think Working Against Gravity will be constantly evolving to try and create communities in different kinds of ways. And in today's society or in our generation, the ability to access through the internet is just amazing. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason to be alone anymore, really. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, of course, engaging with the people in front of you and being present with where you are is amazing. But some people might not have the same situation, whether we have some people that are on military bases and they're really far somewhere mm-hmm. and they only have like 5 people around them who are not tracking their food mm-hmm. and having a support system online is amazing.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So I know everybody out there listening is sold on flexible dieting already. if they're not quite there, what are some things that they can go out and try on their own to kind of get their feet wet and see if flexible dieting is for them?
Well, we have a 21-day challenge that's not necessarily giving you macros or teaching you how to adjust your macros, but just teaching you how to change your perspective on food that's releasing on January 3rd. So that would be a great start. But I think in general, just tracking your food in MyFitnessPal without weighing and measuring your food is a great first step. Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily have to weigh and measure your food, but do take into account the fact that serving sizes make a difference. So if you're having cheese and you think you know it's an ounce, maybe look up some pictures that show you how to estimate measuring sizes using your hand. So you can use that as a measuring tool. But just
what size hand should you usually base this off? Like a me size hand or? That's a joke.
An average sized hand. Your own hand. Uh-huh. I think that just simply tracking your food just to see where you're at. I think most people would be super surprised with what an average day looks like for them. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of females out there that just would be surprised by how little protein they're eating. And I think that there's a lot of males out there that want to get big that would be surprised by how few of calories they're eating mm-hmm. or by how volatile their diet is, where mm-hmm. it's super high calorie one day and then super low calorie the next day.
Right.
And I bet you these would be the same people that say, I eat so much, I can't gain weight.
Right.
Those same people.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
Can this diet work for elite athletes?
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. An elite athlete needs to know what's going in their body and what's making them feel good and what makes them feel good. What do they need to eat around training? Or that is more, we've talked about this a lot, where our program is definitely about the basics, just getting your food consistent, knowing what's in your diet, being able to assess serving sizes with your eyes and learning that mm-hmm. for somebody who's an elite athlete, they probably have those basics down. If they don't, they should definitely just start there. Mm-hmm. Definitely just work on
depending on what population you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. So they should definitely just start on getting their diet consistent. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely going to give them every edge in athletics counts, mm-hmm. whether it's you have a sports psychologist or a nutritionist or a PT or whoever is working on you, all of those things are going to make the difference between two great athletes or two good athletes. One's going to be great with all of those edges and the other mm-hmm. one's going to stay good if they don't.
Right.
And then when you have an elite athlete that does have all the basics down, then you can start playing around with when am I going to eat my macros? Mm-hmm. Am I going to put my carbs around my workout? Am I going to have fat after my workout? Am I going to where am I going to stack my protein in a day? What's going to make me feel best? How much water should I be drinking? Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff.
So, and are we talking about, is that just a faster way to get abs, or what's the goal with these athletes? What are we actually trying to do?
The goal, I guess it depends on what sport you're in. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a physique athlete or a bodybuilder, a bikini.
So CrossFitters are probably listening to this. So a games athlete, what are the things that, you know, all else being equal, both people are tracking their macros or they're eating consistently in some way. Maybe it's a different diet. What are a couple things that can help help them stand out, set them apart? So you mentioned timing. Why can timing help?
It's going to, whether it's placebo or not, mm-hmm. it is going to make you feel better going into your workout. Mm-hmm. It's going to have more of the right macronutrients readily available in your system to be able to push through that workout. Right. So you're going to have, whether it's your like muscle glycogen is restored, or it's, you know, if you haven't had any carbs and you're an games athlete, you're training to the point where your muscle glycogen is depleted super quick.
Right.
So in order to replenish that, you have to be careful of when you're eating your right. carbohydrates and what kind of carbohydrates mm-hmm. you're actually eating pre and post workout.
Okay. So let's get even a little bit more into that. Mm-hmm. So I'm a regional athlete. I'm a games athlete. What should I take in before a workout, and what should I take in after?
Before a workout, I'd probably say like 1 to 2 hours before, even 3 hours before mm-hmm. would be fine. Some slower burning or like lower GI foods would be the glycemic index foods,
like
oatmeal, pasta, sweet potatoes, vegetables, rice, mm-hmm. those kind of carbohydrates mm-hmm. where they're not going to like create an insulin spike mm-hmm. and it's going to help fuel you for longer. And mm-hmm. then immediately post-workout, I would suggest higher GI foods. Mm-hmm. So in those cases, it can be fruit, or it can be candy, or it can be a carbohydrate drink like a Gatorade or a Vitargo, or you can even have those things in the middle of your workout depending on how long these sessions are. For games athletes, I know some of them are working out for 4 hours at a time. Mm-hmm. It might be worth it to give, you know, that insulin spike in the middle of your workout after you've already been working out for 2 hours and you're feeling a little bit drained. It's going to give you a boost in the middle of your workout.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Who in the fitness industry or not do you look up to?
I would say probably, oh my.
Did somebody come to mind?
There's like a bunch of people, yeah.
Just say one.
I was going to say Ronda Rousey.
Why?
Because she doesn't give a shit. She just is who she is, and she's equally as, you know, she talks a bunch of smack and she says a bunch of things that like most people would be like, oh, like that's uncalled for. Or I think a lot of that is probably to build hype for her fights. Mm-hmm. But then there's also moments where she really talks about how she's feeling and she's super vulnerable and she lets you in on these moments of her life that it takes a lot of courage to expose. Mm-hmm. I think she's true to herself and she lets you see all sides of her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also like pretty badass.
Love it. I love her too. So you're 25, you got a super successful business, you're a great weightlifter, you got your diet fucking nailed down. What are a few resources that you would recommend to people, whether it be reading or courses or exercises they can do to be more like you? Things that have helped shape you, maybe.
Definitely something recently that changed me significantly is the book Daring Greatly that you suggested to me by Brené Brown. I think that book is amazing. I think that anyone can relate to it. I think it like hits right at home where you can look at your life and think about things that you're doing or ways that you're talking to people that can change your life.
Mm-hmm.
in so many different aspects. The way that you interact with other human beings, the way that you look at yourself, how honest you are with yourself. I think that putting a lot of the things in that book into practice will change your life dramatically for the better if you have the courage to actually do it. Mm-hmm. I think that it's super uncomfortable for most people. Mm-hmm. Daring Greatly, for those who don't know, is a book about vulnerability and shame, which are super deep
terms.
Yeah, like very, very much are like, whoa, like that's deep and heavy. So she writes it in a way that's not so. So I think that that was a super influential book for me. Mm-hmm. Other resources in terms of dieting, I would read anything on bodyrecomposition.com, anything in the JISSN. Those are good for research and science and some really credible sources. Anything by Alan Aragon or Lyle McDonald or Lane Norton's really amazing. Things like that. Slim by Design is a great book. The Lean Body Diet, Guide to Flexible Dieting. Those are some awesome books. Chrissy Mae Cagney's written a book on flexible dieting. She would be a great resource as well. Someone who like lives by the flexible dieting lifestyle. For me as a person, I just read The Alchemist. That is a really short, really quick read that is amazing. Definitely a great way to like recharge. Mm-hmm. Really great motivator to anything that you're doing in life. I would recommend that. And getting into a routine, if you can do that. I think that's probably something everyone's heard a million times, but it is that. I try and like keep things as simple as possible. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. Get into a routine that makes you feel good. If it's you're doing something consistently, just like in your diet, if you're doing actions consistently in your day and it's not making you feel good,
right,
change it and find what works for you. Mm-hmm.
Last thing. What is the idea or phrase or thought that crosses your mind most often, right when you wake up and right when you go to sleep?
How can I be better today? Is that sweet. Super cheesy?
Absolutely. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, Devin, I think that starting a company that is so much about the way you look and what you eat and how you feel about yourself and being almost the leader of that group, it makes me really put my life into perspective and realize that like I have to be accountable as well, and that I have to practice what I preach, and I have a lot of people that rely on me to do a lot of things, and I wake up every day and I think, how can I be a better version of myself, which I know will in turn make everyone around me better. Mm-hmm.
I love that. All right. Thanks for doing this. This has been really good. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. Real quick, where can they find you?
You can find me at www.workingagainstgravity.com, or you can follow us on Instagram at Working Against Gravity, or you can follow me on Instagram at Adi Zucker, AdeeZukier.
Awesome. And they can find you'll announce the 21-day challenge, a little bit ahead of time and stuff like that.
Right. And if you sign up for the newsletter on workingagainstgravity.com, you will get notified of that 21-day challenge.
Boom. And if you haven't already, you should go to www.brutestrengthtraining.com and sign up for our newsletter. We're going to tell you about all kind of Christmas deals, future podcasts, tips that we give out, videos, all kinds of free stuff. We've got some free squat programs and shit like that on the blog that you can find out about if you go sign up for the newsletter. That's about it. Thanks, guys.